Good morning, I'm Sarah Fellows, WQXC News, and you're listening to Community Forum. This morning on Community Forum, we're observing the Carrollton bus crash that occurred on May 14, 1988. It was the deadliest drunk driving crash in U.S. history. We will hear parts of the memorial service as they aired on May 19, 1988. The service at North Hardin High School gathered 6,000 people and was attended by then-Governor Wallace Wilkinson and led by Army chaplains and local ministers.
In just a moment, we'll be bringing you the live broadcast of the memorial services coming from North Hardin High School football field in memory of the 27 people who were killed in a tragic bus accident last Saturday evening.
We have had messages of condolences from many, many people all around the world. Some of those include former Governor Martha Lane Collins, Senators Wendell Ford and William Natcher, Mr. Bob Babbage, our state treasurer, is here. Senator Mitch McConnell sent his condolences and prayer support. We have on the platform some dignitaries that have come just by way of saying, we are with you in spirit. Behind me, Dr. John Brock, who is the state superintendent of public instruction, the mayor of Radcliffe, Mayor Joseph Hutcherson, the commander of the U.S. Army Armor Center and Fort Knox, Major General Thomas Tate, and then the governor of our Commonwealth of Kentucky, the Honorable Wallace Wilkinson and his wife. We are grateful for you folks being with us today. One other announcement is that the Secretary of the Army and the Army Chief of Staff have sent their condolences in a letter. I read it. Dear General Tate, please pass to all members of Fort Knox and the surrounding communities the deep regret and compassion that we feel for those who have suffered in the aftermath of the tragic bus accident. We are very proud of the exceptional spirit and support shown by your community in caring for the survivors and families of those directly affected by the accident. Our prayers join those of all members of the total Army family during this time of sorrow and healing.
As we open our service with prayer, would you please stand and join me? Almighty and everlasting God, the Lord of our life and death, we desire to acknowledge you in all our ways and in all the events which befall us. In sorrow of heart, yet in quietness and confidence, we have gathered here for these last solemn and tender offices of faith and love. Lift us, we ask, above the shadow and the sadness of mortality into the light of your countenance and the comfort of your presence. Speak to us your words of peace as we stand now in the presence of death. In sorrow as in joy, in loss as in gain, in life as in death, we confess to you that you are good. You're the Lord of life. We trust in you and pray this now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
The 23rd Psalm, the Lord. Shepherd and host. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Besides restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil. For you are at my side with your rod and your staff that gives me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come.
Words of encouragement. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God.
For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the suffering of this present times are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. We know that in everything, God works good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who is against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor heights nor depths nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Just before that we go to prayer, I have three letters that I would like to read to you tonight. To the members of First Assembly of God, to this community, Nancy and I were stunned and saddened to hear of the tragedy that befell your church last weekend. The terrible accident that took the lives of so many of your children and friends and injured so many others leaves us deeply grieved. Our hearts and prayers go out to each of you. May you find consolation in the knowledge that your fellow Americans all across our land share your sorrow. Your pain and loss are our nation's too, and your countrymen are with you in prayer. Your faith and courage in time of tragedy offer inspiration to America and the world. May you take comfort in the days to come in remembrance of your loved ones. They shared many bonds, the blessings of family life, the joys of friendship, and above all, faith, hope, and charity. These lasting treasures reflect God's presence among us until we are with him forever. And they forever unite all of you and those who have found timeless gladness, peace, and welcome in God's arms. May God bless you and grant you every solace and strength. This is from the President of the United States, Ronald Reagan. To, again, one address to our church. There are a few words we can say to give comfort to you in this time of need, but in the sorrow and pain we all share this evening, we can find solace in knowing that those we love have proceeded into the arms of our Lord. Barbara and I pray that in this hour of grief, you may find comfort in the love of one another, the strength of your families, and your faith in our Savior. May God bless and strengthen you. Sincerely, Vice President George Bush. And one from G. Raymond Carlson, the General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God in Springfield, Missouri. Assemblies of God constituents across the nation are greatly saddened by the tragic loss this community and its families have suffered in recent days. Words are inadequate to express our deep feelings of sorrow and loss. Today we grieve with you here in Radcliffe as you remember those precious young people and adults who lost their lives so suddenly this past Saturday. The prayers of 1,000 of us at headquarters and of millions in our fellowship are with you. On this occasion, we are reminded of the uncertain and transitory nature of our lives here on earth. We are also reminded in the midst of perplexity and heartache of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the resurrection and the life, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. My heart goes out to each member of every family who has suffered irreplaceable loss. I pray for the comfort of God the Father in the presence of the Holy Spirit to be very near and real to you today and in the days to come. I encourage you, as Peter wrote in God's holy word, to cast all your cares on him, remembering that he cares for you. Our prayer for this community and every family is that God will administer comforting, healing grace to you in every way. With the Apostle Paul, I pray, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Shall we bow our heads together in a word of prayer? Our Lord and our God, we come before you on this evening, expressing, Lord, our thanks to you for your divine grace that has sustained us in these hours, knowing, even as it is written, underneath are the everlasting arms. And we have found, Lord, those arms mighty to bear us up all. I thank you, Lord God, for your divine mercy and grace that's been bestowed upon us. And I pray tonight for every family that is represented here. You know the heartache. You know, Lord, the burden. You know the concern and the love of those who have gathered together. And only you, Lord God, can minister peace to our hearts, comfort to our souls, and strength to our bodies. And we look unto you, as David said, I will look unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. We read again in Psalms 50 and 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Lord, we're calling upon you, and I thank you that you are answering. And to you we give the glory and the praise and the honor. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.
Names are very important. We're given names when we were born by our parents. Those names we carry with us throughout our life. And now, as each name of these precious loved ones that we name this time, let us remember. Remember the love that we share for them. Remember the loss that we suffer. This is a time of remembering, a time of grieving. Jennifer Arnett, Cynthia Atherton, Sandra Brewer, Joshua Conyers, Mary Daniels, Julia Ernest, Kashawn Etheridge, Shannon Fair, Dwayla Fischel, Richard Gone, Lori Holzer, Chuck Keita, Anthony Marks, April Mills, Philip Morgan, Tina Mustaine, William Nichols, Patricia Nunnally, John Pierman, Emily Thompson, Crystal Huey, Denise Vogland, Amy Wheelock, Joy Williams, Robin Williams, Kristen Williams, and Chad Witt.
There is a popular song which asks this question, where do broken hearts go? Can they ever find their way home again? And in the songbook back at the church, are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden. Tell it to Jesus. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. The scriptures say, the Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The scriptures say, the Lord, our shepherd, shall go with us through the valley of the shadow of death. The scriptures say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, for he gives the victory. There was a man who loved to play golf, but he traveled a lot, and therefore when he got home, he felt it unfair that he would tell his wife that he was leaving to go play golf for 4 or 5 hours. He thought of an idea after having quit for several years whereby he might get back in. And so he bought his wife a set of clubs, he bought his young son a set of golf clubs, and he also bought lessons for both of them. He thought this would gain him 2 golfing buddies. His wife played with him 4 times. Honestly, she said, I do not like the game. I want you to play. I know how much you love it. You and the boy play. And all summer, he and his son played golf when they could. At the end of the summer, the son said to his father, Dad, I enjoy being with you, talking with you, but I don't like golf. I'm going to quit. 3 years went by, and one day he and the boy were driving down the road. They came to a driving range, and the boy said, Let's stop, Dad, and hit a few. They did, but his father said, You don't have your clubs in the back of the car. The boy said, Well, I've grown up some now, and I think I'm big enough to hit yours. So they went to the driving range and hit a few, and sure enough, the boy could knock them 20 to 30 yards longer than he had before years ago. Maybe the father thought, I have my golfing buddy back. They stopped at a course one time to play. They came to the 4th hole, and on the 4th hole, a par 4, his son knocked his ball on the green on the 2nd shot. They were excited. This would be the first chance the boy had ever had to make a birdie. So they hurried to the green. The ball was there, the cup was there. They walked around the green, they examined the break. The father really wanted his boy to make it. The boy wanted to make it. He wanted to beat his old dad. So he lined it up, he putted, and like it was on a string, the ball rolled right in the cup and dropped in. That boy jumped off the ground. His father tried to jump. They danced, they shouted. His son had made his very first birdie in golf. And then it dawned on the father that he too had knocked his ball on the green in 2 shots. He too could make a birdie. He did not want to diminish what his son had done. He thought, if I deliberately miss this putt, he'll say to me, Dad, did you really try? I knew I had to be honest. I knew I had to try and make it. And he putted, and he made a birdie too. As they walked off the green, the boy said, Good shot, Dad. And his dad placed his arm around the shoulder of that boy and said, Son, were you really rooting for me? Without batting an eye, his son said, Dad, I always root for you. We are here tonight to say to these who are seated in front of the platform, this community, this post, this state, this nation, we are rooting for you. Our sympathy goes out to you. Our prayers go up for you. We're rooting for you. We want you to make it. And for those precious young people listening and watching in the burn units of the hospitals in Louisville, I want you to know we're rooting for you. And you hurt. We care. Get well. Be patient. We're rooting for you. And to those young people who are here tonight, who got off the bus without being injured badly, we're rooting for you. We want you to make it. We want you to achieve, to take the life and give it to God and amount to something for God's glory. We're rooting for you. That's why we're here tonight. Why do bad things happen to good people? None of us can answer that question. And if we could, it wouldn't change anything tonight. And if we could, it wouldn't take away your grief. We cannot answer why. But I would suggest that you do not blame anybody on that bus. I would suggest that you do not blame God. God did not cause this. There's sin in this world. There is evil in this world. And there are those who make terrible choices, wrong choices, and innocent people pay an awful price. We understand somewhat of where you are. First stage of grief is that of numbness and shock, denial. This cannot be. And that's where you are perhaps tonight. There will come emotional release, and you'll cry, and you'll sob. Let it happen. That's part of the healing process. Physically unable to sleep, physically unable to eat, physically unable to do any of the normal things that you usually would do. It's normal, expected. And then there comes panic. I cannot go on like this. God will help you work through that. Then will come hostility, and you're going to get mad. You may even get mad at God. That's all right, He understands. And you'll work through your hostility. And then you'll come to guilt. And you'll begin to say, if only, why did I could have changed that. Don't go on a guilt trip. And then after the guilt has passed, and we're talking months and maybe years, you'll begin to talk about it more freely. You'll begin to do some other things more normally. You'll come to the place where you will finally accept the loss. And you'll begin to readjust your life. And you'll pick up the pieces and go on, because you must go on. You must go forward. They want you to. They really would. In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 2 through 7, I read, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Listen to this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he will be my son and my daughter." Life really isn't all that complicated. We live a few short years. We die. We stand before God. And we go either to heaven or to hell. Would you try to think of this death in particular as not an elimination, but as an emancipation? Think of the death of these as not a destruction, but a deliverance. Think of the death of these as not a losing, but a gaining. Not an ending, but a beginning. Not a going away, but an arriving. Not a parting, but a meeting. One evening next week, many of us shall return to this very spot. There will be graduation time for the seniors of North Hardin High School. I submit to you that 3 adults and 24 young people have already graduated, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. God bless.
Shall we pray? Abba, Daddy God, tonight, today, tomorrow, all weekend, Father, we're burying our babies. We're burying, Father, our dads, our mom. In the weekends to follow, when we have to sort through closets and put back from the dinner table plates that aren't needed now, and the pictures on the wall and in the books, and where we used to sit in the car, where we used to sit in the church, and who they used to play with in the backyard, and all these things crowd and surround and overwhelm those feelings in our heart again. Father, we need to remember that you are still our Abba. You are our Daddy. And that little child within us, as we cry and search for that emptiness and loneliness that just is untouchable apart from you, we want to turn back to you and find the Abba of our heart, the comfort that goes beyond a hand, beyond the food, beyond the elements of everything that we need, but somehow strikes within our spirit and brings a sense of healing. We rest in that at this time. That tonight when we finally close our eyes, and we don't hear the little voice calling out in the darkness for another glass of water, Daddy, or something else, as the tears finally do hit the pillow, we can remember that you understand that. You are closer, so much closer than anything we could rest in. Jesus, we rest in that faith and that hope tonight for the wounded warriors that we have. Let that heart be healed in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
We've been listening to a recording of a portion of the memorial service for victims of the Carrollton bus crash that occurred May 14, 1988. For WQXC News, I'm Sarah Fellows.